Channel Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Who Cares Wins Radio on channelradio.co.uk. It's Monday. It's the 16th of September.
Monday.
Is it raining where you are, folks? We've just had a torrential downpour.
Yay!
Nice and sunny again. And welcome. I am Jan Mulligan and my co-presenter, Angela Breyer-Stevenson. Hello, Angela.
Hello.
And our special guest today is Kathy Omani. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you. Thank you, Jan and Angela.
Kathy. And Kathy is from Deal Mediation Services and also Divorce Nicely and Work Nicely. And our topic today is mediation. So we're going to be talking all things mediation with Kathy and playing music as we go. And hopefully, as always, you'll notice the links between the music and our topics. And where they don't quite fit, Kathy will explain why they don't quite fit and how she can help you get past that block. So, Kathy, thank you for coming in today. Let's start off with a little bit about your background, what you've done in the past, and what brought you to mediation.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Jan, for having me along today. Many moons ago, in a previous life, I used to be a marketing executive for a major brewer, but it really was always an ambition of mine to go into the legal profession. So I took a huge leap of faith when I was in my early 30s and decided to go down the legal route, did my law degree, became a solicitor, saw all the devastation that court brings through litigation, and in 2007 decided there had to be another way, so trained as a mediator, and 2 years ago I'd made the shift to entirely do mediation. So that's where I am now, just solely doing mediation and trying to stop people going to court rather than going to court with them.
Excellent. So, as you say, you're seeing the devastation in court and that it has to be a better way.
Mm.
What was it about mediation as opposed to any other dispute resolution process that attracted you?
I think with mediation, an awful lot of people can't really afford to go through any of the other routes. For instance, there would be collaborative law or arbitration or negotiating through solicitors as a final resort, court or the tribunals. But all of those other forms of dispute resolution, people have to have some money behind them to be able to enable them to do that. Mediation is a form of dispute resolution that's really affordable for everybody. So I think that's really what attracted it. Me to it. I used to do legal aid as a solicitor, and I felt that it was really unfair if somebody qualified for legal aid, they had the full force of the law behind them, another person would miss out by a pound and immediately they would be paying full private rates.
Right. So, a big difference between the two parties.
Yeah.
And taking you back to when you were a solicitor, what law did you practice?
I did it mainly employment, family and property law.
Right.
So I did that for a number of years, but it was going to tribunals, it was going to court with people because people didn't think there was any other way, despite telling them about the different forms of dispute resolution. They had it in their head that they wanted their day in court.
Mm. That's often what it's about, isn't it? It's about actually having their day in court and perhaps feeling listened to, isn't it?
Hmm. Well, I think they thought they'd feel listened to, but ultimately if you go off to court, really all the judges is interested in are the facts, and people don't really get to tell their side of the story, but they do get that opportunity in mediation.
Mm. So when you made the decision to move from pure law to mediation, did you need to requalify in any way?
Yes, I had to do a mediation course. I became a civil accredited mediator in 2007. And then also did family mediation, a further course in 2011. So it was more training, and the courses that I did, you had to either be a solicitor or a counsellor to be able to do that.
Right. And are you then recognised by a professional body in some shape or form?
Yes. On the family side, it's a family mediation council that you come under, and on the civil side, it's the civil mediation council.
Right. So if as an individual I'm thinking, well, possibly mediation is the route to go for me, I might Google or other search internet engines exist for mediation, but I'm looking for either civil
or family.
Okay. Mm. And we mentioned briefly, and we'll probably come back to it, obviously there are other types of disputes. You mentioned earlier that you also do work and in employment business,
yeah.
But there's neighbour disputes is probably a common thing
that
you have. So we'll, as we go through the show, we'll touch on various topics.
Okay.
But if anybody's listening and has got any questions out there and want to tweet us, our Twitter handle is @CaresWins, and Kathy will do her best to field your questions today. And if not, we can post them on to Kathy and maybe Facebook later. So I think across our lives, we all come into dispute in some shape or form, either willingly or unwillingly. So mediation sounds a really good way to go. So having done the qualifications, I guess like most careers, are there continual professional development courses that you are obliged to go on?
Yes, you have to do a number of CPD hours every year. Civil mediation.
CPD, just remind our listeners.
Sorry, common professional development points that you have to do.
I like the common. See, I call it continual. But common, that's good as well.
Mine's career. So I think different professions label it differently.
Do they?
Yeah.
God, why can't we have one word?
It's always CPD, but it's different. But anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
It probably is continuous. But
I like common. I like your style.
But that was similar, really, to being a solicitor. You had to do your CPD points then as well. And then family mediation differs in that you have to have a PPC. Hopefully I'll get
PPC.
This one right.
I have to bring in any jargon. I'm like, what's that?
That's gone completely out of my head. Professional practice consultant.
I like that one. Yeah.
So it's similar to a supervisor, but us solicitors and counsellors don't like to have supervisors, so we have PPCs instead.
A professional, what does it stand for? PPs. Professional, I've forgotten it already.
Practice consultant.
So we could have professional practice commoner.
Yes, that sounds better.
She likes renaming things.
I'm in Andy world. Carry on, listener.
So, in terms of mediation, in a nutshell, how big a nutshell do you need is up to you. What is mediation?
It's a form of dispute resolution that involves both parties sitting down and trying to negotiate with an independent third party. So the mediator assists them to negotiate. It's principled negotiation, but it's really assistance with the third party, but all agreements or anything that they decide, any proposals, that comes from the two parties.
Right.
The mediator helps them to go through the process. It is a structured process. It's much more structured than a simple negotiation.
Right. Okay. So if somebody's up in Scotland attending a mediation session and somebody else is down in Kent, would they expect the process to be pretty much the same?
Yes, they would. Mediators go through similar training.
Right. Okay. And how can it benefit? What would you say the main benefit of mediation versus other routes is?
Okay, I think one of the most important for people is the cost benefit.
Right.
There are significant costs with mediation. It's also much less stressful, although it isn't an easy option because the parties do have to sit in the same room if they're doing family mediation. On the civil side of mediation, they can be in separate rooms, but it's very rarely done in family mediation. It isn't an easy option because they do have to work hard to get to any agreement. There's no solicitor standing between them and the court, for instance. They really do have to work hard. It's a question of sitting down with the mediator and rolling up their sleeves to try to work out what is best for them. What they tend to come out with in mediation is a solution that's acceptable to both of them. It might not be a perfect solution for both of them, but it's something that's acceptable to the two of them.
A win-win. Who cares wins?
And I think that's a perfect segue to our first piece of music.
Really?
It's called I Won't Back Down, and it's obviously pre-mediation. So it's the attitude that we're trying to change through that, mediation.
Yeah, that here aggression.
I'm not going to give in. So he won't back down, but hopefully through the services of Cathy O'Mahony, Mediation Services in Deal, he will at least backstep a little bit.
You will back down, won't you? Listen to me.
So our topic today is mediation.
There's a meerkat in here.
And we've just been speaking to Cathy about what mediation is and the benefits.
Not meditation.
Not meditation.
Some people were confused.
No, if I did that any typos this week.
That does come up on
week,
Google.
It does, doesn't it?
Well, we could link mindfulness and mediation, maybe. We'll have to look at that, Cathy. I'll chat with you later.
It's a business opportunity there. And so we were just touching on what the benefits were and the role of the mediator.
Mm.
So is that like the referee in a boxing match?
Yeah. To do? Do you have red cards?
I do have a yellow version. There are only a few people that I've had to say that mediation isn't quite suitable for them, but not very many.
Oh, that's good to hear, though. It works for most people, you'd say it would work for them.
I think really most people can sort things out if they want to. There's very much a mindset in England that if something goes wrong, people automatically want to go down the adversarial route, and our whole culture is adversarial. So it's really the challenge, I think, of the mediator to try to steer people away from that, to see that they can actually sort things out for themselves. Most people can do that. If they go into a mediation session with an open mind and not with that mindset that they have to win at all costs, then it is possible for the two of them, or however many people are involved, to reach an agreement. I have seen that. It's almost like a magical moment when people start realising, yes, actually, I can do this. I can get to reach an agreement. Because very often what happens, something might be really important for one person, but that same point might not be so important for the other person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there is really that bargaining between them so that they can both come out with something that they're both happy with.
And presumably on a private basis, that might be the root of an argument. You don't understand me, you're not getting my viewpoint.
Yes.
And that's where the mediator...
So the mediator really works on very much an impartial basis. So there are no sides. So whatever one party says, it's really... The mediator has to be non-judgmental, because otherwise you can lose the trust of one of the other parties. But it is also a voluntary procedure, so people don't have to be there. Anyone can stop that mediation whenever they want to, and that includes the mediators. So, for instance, if I thought it wasn't doing them any good, if they were going round in circles and they weren't willing to change that, then I would need to stop that mediation, because they'd be wasting their money and wasting their time.
Right. Okay. And what sort of environment are we in? Is it your offices? Might it be somebody's home? Where does mediation take place?
Some people would do home visits. That tends to happen if it's, for instance, teenager and family mediation. Some organisations do neighbourhood mediation at home. But otherwise it tends to be at my office, and I do different room hire around the whole of East Kent, so it's almost coming to people within their own towns.
Right, okay. And how long might the first session last?
The first session really is on an individual basis, right, so okay. Somebody comes in to find out how the whole process works. That tends to be for about an hour and a half. If they think it's something that they want to try, then the mediator would contact the next person. Mm-hmm. They would come in for their own individual session. Then after that, it depends really what type of mediation it is. If it's a family mediation, then it tends to be an hour and a half to 2 hour sessions.
Right.
If it's a business mediation or a workplace mediation, they can be much longer. So you could really sort those out within a day.
Okay.
But family mediation is so emotional that really the maximum would be a 2 hour session.
Right. And is there such thing as a typical number of sessions that somebody might expect to go through?
Again, depending on the type of mediation, so business, workplace or employment, you'd be looking really at trying to get that sorted in one day with one session.
Right.
On family mediation, that can vary, and it's very much within the control of the parties. So if they've got all issues to sort out, their children, family and property issues, children issues would tend to be one or two sessions, and then the property and financial side, that could be anything up to 4-5 sessions, but it really depends on them. Some people have done it very, very quickly.
Right. And you mentioned earlier that there are only sort of a handful of people you've met that you would say mediation's not right for. Are there any topics that mediation is not really right for?
With topics, I think if within a relationship there has been any form of domestic abuse or domestic violence, then mediation really wouldn't be suitable. And that's really a screening process that mediators go through with an individual on their first meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's keeping that in mind throughout, because people that have suffered domestic abuse, they're very, very reluctant to say that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really keeping that going on. Mm-hmm. It's ongoing review with that.
On that note, Kathy, would you then, in your process of that discussion, that interview, would you then... not necessarily recommend, but would you suggest or signpost them to parties that then can help them?
Yeah.
And perhaps encourage them to have their voice and to have their say, etc., etc.? For example, in an abusive relationship, the one party may feel that there's nobody she or he could talk to.
Mm.
Do you know of the avenues they can then pursue?
Yes, I tend to keep a list in various areas so that I can signpost people onto, because it would be very rare that you'd send somebody off with nowhere to go. There always needs to be a next step for them to take.
Sure. Which also, I think, is a useful thing to realise, that it's not a case of, oh, well, I've come to, for example, talk to Kathy, come to the mediator. It's not necessarily the end of, oh, well, I've chosen this route, this is my route, my path. You're giving them that option that, actually, this is a good discussion point, and now I know which avenue is going to be best for me, which may well still be with, for example, Kathy and deal mediation, or it could be, as you say, the other routes.
Yes, I think that first meeting, that really tries to tell people about all their options. So it's not just discussing mediation, it's discussing, for instance, arbitration, family arbitration, collaborative law, negotiations through solicitors. If it becomes evident that there is a real power imbalance and it's not something that the mediator can check, then again, mediation may not be suitable for those people.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier that it's important for you to be non-judgmental. And before we came on air, we were talking about the being neutral in terms of your solicitor hat.
Yes.
Is it possible, I mean, you're a qualified solicitor, but you're not practising at the moment.
Yes.
She's not soliciting.
Trying not to, anyway.
I had to get that in.
I was being so careful not to say it.
You heard it here first.
Is that a personal career decision on your part, or can one not be a solicitor and a mediator?
Oh, you most definitely can be a solicitor and a mediator, and many mediators are also solicitors. That is a personal decision for me. I've chosen to completely move into mediation and leave the legal side behind. But it's fair to say that if you have acted for somebody on a legal position, you can't then go on to mediate with those parties.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. You gotta choose one camp or another.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So you mentioned when we were talking about locations. That you can visit people within East Kent. And I see from your website, you do central London, all the way down to Dover, across to Canterbury, all over the place.
Yes.
Do you go outside of Kent if somebody moves? So say you've got a client that you're working with and they're actually relocating. Would you nominally work with them, or would you signpost to somebody else?
It depends what they want, really, because once you've started a mediation, it wouldn't then be fair to pass that over onto a completely new mediator, because it's very much a trust relationship. So it would be difficult, and I would tend to, and as a mediator, I am completely mobile. So it's really, if somebody's, for instance, moved to somewhere reasonably near location wise, Sussex or Cambridge, I've gone up to previously. That's a possibility.
What about technology? Does that come in? See, Jan and I were on the same wavelength.
We're not going to tell you what our thought is. We're just going to
don't go there. We're soliciting. See, I'm off. But the Skype, the telephone conference type calls, do you utilise those if you have to?
I haven't as yet, Angela. It's a good question, actually, because I have recently set up on Skype and everything else, because they are new services that I will be offering.
Right.
But family mediation, I don't necessarily think would be appropriate.
Because they could hang up, couldn't they? Presumably you need him in the room to have that control element that you spoke of to a degree.
I think so, and it's really, you can't get the emotional side.
The body language aspect is a bit missing, isn't it, with Skype?
Yeah, but it's certainly suitable for, I mean, ACAS use telephone mediation. And
yes, they do, don't they?
And it would certainly be feasible to use it for business mediation or any other forms of civil mediation. But I think family mediation, that's one of the areas that's specifically excluded.
As you say, I suppose it's horses for courses as the type of mediation, and therefore, probably family not so much, but perhaps the business environment, employment, business mediation, workplace mediation may well suit some of it to be through Skype if that helped you Again, you would choose, presumably, the contacts, the clients you have would be coming necessarily from the East Kent area.
Yeah.
If they came further afield. We have listeners in New Zealand and India. You know, might contact you, you never know.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, it is moving forwards all the time. In April, there was a new EU directive.
Another one. Hurrah!
Which is all about moving to online dispute resolution for consumer disputes.
Right.
And we're tasked with getting that into place in the next 2 years. So it's moving all the time. And although it's not a new form of dispute resolution, it's very much in the arena at the moment.
And it's normally one aspect takes on the new technology, then quite often the others follow, don't they? So
yeah.
Even if it's not an immediate specialism, it's something that people need to keep a track on because it may hit their practice sooner or later.
Yes, absolutely.
And talking of specialisms, we've been talking about family and business and work employment, and divorce is one of your key specialisms.
Yes.
So we're going to be talking about divorcing nicely.
Because you set that up since I met you when you were just Deal Mediation.
Yes,
and this
that's
is something,
right.
Yeah.
So Kathy's got fingers in pies, but again,
she's also got chocolate. I spied them.
Our next piece of music, while Angela Russell's in the chocolate box, we're going to be playing ABBA, The Winner Takes It All.
The Winner Takes the Chocolates.
And when we come back, Kathy will tell us why
the heroes.
Being the winner doesn't always make you feel like the winner.
I'm a hero.
Here we go.
Yay!
About things we've gone through, though it's hurting me, now it's history. I've played all my cards, and that's what you've done too. Nothing more to say, no more ace to play. The winner takes it all, the loser standing small beside the victory. That's a destiny. I was in your arms, thinking I belonged there. I figured it made sense, building me a fence. Does it feel the same when she calls your name? Somewhere deep inside, you must know I miss you. But what can I say? Rules must be obeyed.
Big thing or a small.
if it makes you feel sad. And I understand you've come to shake my hand. I apologize if it makes you feel bad, seeing me so tense, no self-confidence. But you see, the winner takes it all.
Network provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
Channel Radio.
Welcome back to Who Cares Wins. Yeah, and our special guest, Kathy Omani, who hopefully you can hear above Angela and her sweet rustling, like being in the cinema with the back row, somebody's rustling.
Yeah, but I'm
sweets.
Not kicking your chair this week.
This
am
is
I?
True. So, welcome back, Kathy.
Thank you.
Now, we played there The Winner Takes It All by ABBA, which was about a relationship breakup. And
my ex-husband took it all.
Oh, dear.
So I wish mine. I wish I'd known Kathy then.
And you mentioned, Kathy, when we were choosing the music, that what most people think of going to court, having their day in court and coming out the winner, actually, in retrospect, being the winner doesn't necessarily feel good. And in divorce, that's particularly poignant.
I think, really, in divorce matters, there are very few cost orders made within families. So it costs people an awful lot to go through the court process. The last one that I did as a solicitor, both parties had racked up fees of £10,000 plus VAT each.
Ouch.
So that's really, nobody can afford to throw that much about.
Yeah. That comes out, from my recollection, that comes out of the estate anyway, doesn't it, as such? Mm. So if you are going over 10 grand that's in your bank, you've spent it, so there's none left.
Yeah, exactly. So whoever wins, apparently, or is perceived to have won at court, it's cost them a fortune.
Yeah.
And not only that, it's the time, it's the stress, it's the heartache. Mediation is just so much quicker. And it might come across that I'm really passionate about mediation, but I've just seen all the devastation, and mediation's just a better way for everyone.
And over the last few years, and certainly since sort of the 60s and 70s, divorce laws have changed greatly. And whereas in the past, somebody had to be at fault, and you had to have evidence to even apply for a divorce, they now have what they term in the press quickie divorce, DIY divorce. And you mentioned that even if one feels that it's totally, yes, we're in agreement, having a third party just double check things, talk things through, can save a lot of hassle later on.
Yeah, I think if people are going down the DIY divorce route, what they need to be careful of really is that if they get it wrong, then they will be whacked with a £90 or £95 amendment fee by the court. So they need to be careful about what they're putting in their divorce petition. Because
can I just interrupt? What do you mean if they get it wrong? Just to give our listeners an example.
Sorry,
by that. That's okay.
If they're doing their petition themselves and they get something wrong on there,
right?
They can be
so almost like a clerical error.
Yeah,
just a piece of information that's not
missing,
quite accurate or missing.
And
okay,
if it needs amendment, then they can be slapped with a almost like a penalty fee, but it's an amendment fee from the courts. So and also the delay that involves So although there are DIY services around, it's important really to know that you're not going to get legal advice anyway from the DIY services. That's fair enough if you've got an agreed divorce. It's quite dangerous to go down the DIY divorce if it's not agreed, because what you finish up with is a divorce petition at the court, and it's stuck there for a while if you can't get it sorted out with the other party. I do offer a service through Divorce Nicely. It's not to promote myself, but it's really an administrative service to help people with all of the paperwork so that they don't get in the position of having an incorrect petition at the court.
So just from listening to you there, Kathy, if I was to decide I'm going to divorce my husband and I do all this quickie divorce stuff and get all the paperwork put through, if he doesn't agree, then I'm stuck. Presumably
you're stuck in as much as the other party could make it quite difficult for the divorce to proceed. If they're not going to return the acknowledgement of service form, you're then in the position where you have to get the court bailiff to serve the papers to prove that it's been served. It all adds up.
But when I send the boys around, isn't it?
But if
that's another show.
But if you don't qualify for an exemption from fee, then it's building up costs, and then you may as well have gone to a solicitor in the first place to get it sorted out.
So you were saying you have this process where you'll check the documentation if they are, both parties are agreeing. This is this service that you offer. Is it that the only thing, or Divorce Nicely is, as I you put it about the East Kent's, what's the lovely phrase you had on your website? Something about East, you know, divorcing nicely and being able to sort of smile about it at the end of the day. But is that, there's other services, is what I'm trying to say, from Divorce Nicely?
It's really intended to be a one-stop shop, really, for divorcing couples that have agreed what how they're going to divorce. The most amicable way of sorting out a divorce is to wait for 2 years and then both parties consenting, because that's as close as we get to a no-fault divorce. But it's really offering people the chance to come in, have their paperwork done, sort out their financial and property issues and their children issues through mediation. But very often they might need other services as well. So it's looking at counselling services if appropriate, mortgage broker services, financial services, independent financial advisors, because one of the main assets in a divorce split up could be a pension asset. So it's really pointing people off in the right direction for advice about that. Very often people think, oh, I don't need to sort out the financial or property side. But to be clear about it, if there's no consent order at the end of a divorce lodged at the court, then nothing's legally binding, and both of those parties can always go back and make a claim against the other.
So if they won the lottery?
Yes. And there's always
that... It's not been rubber stamped, so they could be coming back at you for the half of it, for example.
Yeah, there's always that potential, and it may well be that it might not succeed in court, but you've got to go through the expense of defending that and everything else, so you're better off getting to a final point of agreement, having your consent lodged at the court, and then that's done and dusted.
So in an ideal world, if somebody is having trouble within a relationship, they would have mediation, and if there are children involved, then family mediation first. And then if it gets to the stage where parties are agreed, then it would be the Divorce Nicely arrangement for checking the paperwork, making sure the finances are right, and signposting. Do you find people come at it from the other end, that they're at the divorce stage? They think it's all happy, but actually they do need the mediation because of the family aspect.
Yes, I've had people come in where they only want to take that aspect of the service, so they want the paperwork sorted out for them because they think everything's agreed. But it's an opportunity as well to talk to them about how they need to deal with the financial and property sides. And again, going through all the different options of collaborative law or arbitration, negotiating through solicitors, but also pointing out to them the fact that there can be a claim made if they don't get it sorted out.
Right. Okay. Mm. So we started the show talking about deal mediation services, which is your transition from soliciting. Yeah, Angela, happy there. Into mediation. Mm. You still have that, and that's your main business, but as an adjunct to that, there's Divorce Nicely.
Yes.
And you've got plans on the horizon for the business employment side of things.
Yes, Work Nicely is going to be the next launch. I think the reason why I've split off different services is so that people can see what it says on the tin, really, because mediation people still don't fully understand that concept. So it's trying to get across to people that this is exactly what it does. On the Divorce Nicely side, mediation isn't about getting people back together. It's starting off from the position that both parties have decided the marriage is over, and then helping them to sort out all the practical issues that arise out of that. I think one of the main reasons that that is so important is because if there are children, then that can really affect people if they go off to court. Parents don't always appreciate how much it can affect their children.
And also sometimes allowing the children to be heard isn't it, depending on their age. Actually, you know, sometimes having the children, either the child or children involved somehow, as you say, if it's more the mediation, then having that voice of the child heard. Sometimes parents can get very caught up in, they think they know what's best and haven't necessarily heard. Oh, didn't realise you thought like that, or I didn't realise you felt like that. And so until that was aired or shared, then they were going down a different path.
Yeah, that's right.
And so in terms of the Work Nicely, we've got the categories that I came across on your website were business mediation, workplace mediation and employment.
Yeah.
Now, for some listeners, they might think that's just three ways of describing the same entity. How would you separate those off?
Okay, well, business mediation, a lot of very large companies have already gone down the route of having a full mediation policy in place. So it's throughout their whole organisation. So they would have a mediation policy for any contracts. Any contracts that are drawn up, a first stop would be mediation if there is a dispute. Employment contracts, they would have a mediation clause in there. Construction contracts, they do tend to have arbitration clauses anyway, but what people are tending to do now is put in a mediation clause first. If that fails, then go to arbitration. And it is all about reducing costs for people. The larger companies have realised that, and we're quite behind a lot of other countries in the world, but our major companies have mediation clauses, and it's really all about educating small and medium enterprises that this can in fact save them an awful lot of money in the future.
Right. So it's plan now for the future, save the money that you might have to spend in the future.
Yes. Okay. So that's the business side. Workplace differs from employment. Workplace is while people are still actually in employment. Right. So if there is a dispute between a team or between a manager and an employee, then it's part of good practice to call in an independent mediator to try to resolve that, because the amount of time, again, the cost, workplace disputes impact on almost every part of an organisation, because if somebody is in a dispute, they will draw in other employees. The amount of time spent during the day talking about that detracts people, so productivity goes down. So again, it's good practice to consider having an independent mediator to nip that in the bud.
And presumably your contacts from that business side may well be your human resource departments, the personnel departments, or it could be, if they're smaller companies, presumably it is just literally that line manager reaching out. Do you deal with the what I call the outsourced HR departments, who may well then bring in a mediator? So they're a small organisation who have an HR rep externally. Do you then come in via that angle? Would you go direct through the company? Would they contact you direct?
Well, it varies again, Angela, because I've had contact via both avenues,
okay.
Really. So,
great.
I think looking at it from an employee's side, some people are bringing in they're training internal people up to be workplace mediators.
Yes.
And I'm not sure there's a conflict there or not.
Yeah, because they're surely got a business hat on. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's the same thing I experience when I'm called in as an external consultant and I'm talking to facilities or IT or HR who said, that piece of information you've just given, I said that last week and nobody listened. And that's the difficulty of being in-house, that you may have your non-judgmental, your neutral hat on, but people still see you as being part of the company.
Yeah, so
and
that's
just
right.
Tune out. They just don't listen.
Yeah,
and you know, some people have a voice or a certain tonality to that voice, and people will just tune out. Oh, did you say that? Oh, I didn't hear you. Whereas you say you've got a completely new face, new voice, then there's an element of, and also the credibility.
Absolutely,
ooh, she's the expert coming in. So yeah, so that's your.
workplace
mediation.
And then the employment mediation, I don't know if you've heard that there are now tribunal fees in place.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And one of the ideas behind that was to encourage more people to go off to mediation. So it's really getting people to mediate before they actually go through the tribunal process.
Right.
And is that the same as those people maybe thinking, well, I could use ACAS? Would that be a similar option?
Yes, ACAS have done mediation, telephone mediation for a number of years. They are now going into workplaces as well to carry out the employment mediation.
Right.
I gather there is a charge. I'm not sure how far down the process you have to be before it becomes a free process. So it's a bit unclear on that.
Well, that's it. And I think time for our last piece of music for today. And this has actually been chosen by yourself, Kathy. Simon and Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Water. One of your favourites, I understand.
Very apt.
Certainly, yeah.
Very apt, indeed.
Kathy is that bridge. Here we go.
Thank you, John.
Don't call her a bridge.
Come. Sail on, silver girl. Sail on, my. Your time has come to shine. All your dreams are on their way. See how they shine.
Good afternoon, welcome back to Who Cares Wins with our special guest, Cathy Omani. Now, just before that piece of music, Cathy, we were talking about the workplace, employment and business aspects. And one of the things that I find when I go into a company, that the client I'm meeting with is often concerned about what they feel they can say to me, what's on the record, what's off the record.
Especially when HR are involved, because HR, they always think HR are going to know everything.
Yeah. So how does that work with a mediator going in?
Well, generally what would happen is that it's an agreement that's signed beforehand to say that nothing will go back to HR other than it's been successful or not successful.
Right.
And also the agreement will stipulate that anything that's come up can't be used against that employee. It tends to be confidential with all forms of mediation, really, because particularly as well on the business side, that's one of the great advantages of doing mediation, that nothing's out in the open. So there's nothing in a court or there's nothing in a tribunal. So that can work very well for businesses and employees.
Excellent. So if we've had a listener listening in today, for any of the topics,
or more than one.
It's just this one listener I'm thinking of. One listener I have in mind. And they'd like to get in touch with you. What's the best way to do that?
Okay, well, my main website is for deal mediation, so it's www.dealmediationservices.co.uk, and that website will have links to anything else that I'm doing. Also, telephone number, it's 01304 800001, or my email address is Cathy Omani. C A T H Y O M A H O N E Y at dealmediationservices.co.uk.
Excellent. We'll have all of those.
I presume that's on the website as well. If they click on something like contact us, that will come up.
Yes, it will do.
But we'll make sure all of that's posted on Facebook.
Yep, we'll put that on Facebook.
So thank you.
Thank you so much for your time today, Cathy.
And thank you both for having me here.
You're very welcome.
That's been great. Great. Very informative. I wish I'd known all about this many, many years ago.
We have a few
lots of bills,
events and updates for you, one of which will involve Cathy in a moment. So yes. She's not leaving us just yet. But just on...
We've locked her in.
Both an event and an update. On October 1st and 2nd at Earls Court in London, there's the Workplace Ergonomics and Productivity Conference. There's a free exhibition, lots of stands, lots of products. And one of our guests, Mike Dilk from Relax Back,
who came into
the studio with his Relax Back chair.
Yeah.
He will be exhibiting there. Stand 12. If you want to pop by and see Mike... Say hello to him from us.
So he'll probably have some of those backups there.
He will definitely have the backups there.
Go and try them out.
And I hope to be popping along there as well. So might see you there. There's also an optional seminar program. There is a charge for that, but you can go either one or both days. And they've got lots of interesting talks going on. So if you just search the internet for WEP, 2013. So it's WP 2013 for the Workplace Ergonomics and Productivity, October 1st and 2nd. And Anjali, you've got something going on later in the month, October.
It's more really to link in with Kathy, that some of you may know I facilitated it earlier in the year. There's another Going for Growth event, which is organised and put together by a lady called Christine Holmes, and she's based under the Twitter handle of @ThanetEnt, short for enterprise. It is a women's business conference. It's people starting business or who are already in business. I noticed the last time we did have some men infiltrating, one of them being Paul Andrews. Uh-huh. And so the majority of the day is around people coming to network and also to explore support and help around either they're growing their business or starting their business. And I know we were chatting earlier, Kathy, you're planning to have a stand there. So if people want to come and see Kathy and have a chat further after thinking, listening to today's show, then the 23rd of October at Thanet College, we'll post the information and keep sharing it through our Facebook page. It's called Going for Growth, and it's under the Women Mean Business group that's on Facebook.
Excellent.
And we'll keep promoting it on this show as well.
Okay. Yes, I hope to see you all there.
Mm. Excellent. We'll be there. Who Cares Wins will be there. I'll be there. And you come in, Jan.
I don't know yet. I may be. The date sounds familiar, but I'm not sure for that reason. Okay, so a couple of very quick updates on the fundraising side of things. Elizabeth Ruggiese, who was on in week 5 back in April, she's taking part in a year of sporting activities to raise money for Demelza Hospice Care for Children. She's completed 4 events so far and raised £720, but her total target she's aiming for is £4,000. So if you can help her, her website is www.justgiving.com. Elizabeth Ruggiese, and again that will be on Facebook. And then Mary Daly of the Kent MS Therapy Centre Butterfly Appeal. They're trying to build
a
new centre.
Top of the morning to you, Mary.
Yes, Irish Mary. She came on in week 7, again April time. Their target was 1.3 million, and in July they've passed the million mark.
Fab.
So they're well on their way.
Great.
But again,
stuff.
If you can help them in any way, buying a brick for the new building or holding your own event, go on to the kentmstc.org.uk site. On next week's show, we have our interview with Diana Saunders and Lana A of Diana's Supported Holidays. That's holidays for people with learning difficulties. Fantastic holidays they go on all the way around the world.
And a great story, how she set it up.
Absolutely. So that will be next Monday. If you tune in then, or our various Listen Again facilities, either through Channel Radio on Listen Again Mondays, or our own websites of Another Journey Begins for Angela and Greenleaf Ergonomics for myself. We hope you can tune in. Send us your questions. Send us your tweets. It's been great talking to you. Thank you again, Kathy.
Thanks,
for coming
Kathy.
On today.
Thank you.
And Kathy's insight for the week is, in the middle of every difficulty lies opportunity. And that's Albert Einstein.
Oh, the madman himself.
Have a good week, everybody. Bye for now.
Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.